Part 1, The Split Life Problem. Chapter 1, The False Promise of Balance. The scent of freshly cut grass hung heavy in the evening air, mingling with the faint aroma of grilled burgers. Laughter echoed from the playground as children chased each other, their shouts a vibrant counterpoint to the low hum of adult conversation. Mark, sitting on a picnic blanket, watched his daughter, Lily, score a triumphant goal in a chaotic game of soccer. A smile touched his lips, but it felt thin, stretched. His left hand, hidden beneath the blanket, instinctively reached for his phone. Another email, another urgent Slack message. His boss, seemingly oblivious to the concept of after hours, had just scheduled a quick chat for 7:30 p.m. Mark sighed, a silent, internal deflation. He tried to focus on Lily, on the fleeting joy of the moment, but his mind was already back in the office, rehearsing responses, anticipating demands. He felt a familiar, gnawing guilt. Guilt for not being fully present with his family. Guilt for the vague resentment he felt towards his demanding job. And guilt for the pervasive exhaustion that seemed to cling to him like a second skin. He was here, but he wasn't here. He was a father, but a part of him was still a project manager, perpetually on call. This internal tug of war, this constant oscillation between two distinct personas, is the unspoken burden many of us carry. We've been fed a seductive lie, whispered to us from countless self-help gurus, corporate well-being initiatives, and well-meaning friends. Work-life balance is the secret to a stress-free existence, a thriving family, and a life free from burnout. We were promised it would solve all our problems, a mythical unicorn to chase. But here's the unvarnished truth. Balance is a myth. It is not that the idea of effectively managing your time and energy is inherently bad. That's called wisdom, a crucial skill for any adult. The problem lies in the deeply flawed framework we've adopted. The very term balance implies a perpetual struggle between two separate opposing entities, like weights on a seesaw. When one side goes up, the other must inevitably come down. This inherent tension is woven into the fabric of the metaphor itself, and it's profoundly toxic. It sets us up for a zero-sum game, where every gain in one area feels like a loss in another. It's a constant, exhausting effort to maintain an unstable equilibrium, rather than building something inherently stable. The insidious result of this pursuit? We end up living fractured lives. We adopt a performance mask at our work. Professional, polished, seemingly in control, a strategic automaton. Then, we return home and attempt to shed that persona, struggling to switch into a softer, more present, more human version of ourselves. We convince ourselves that these two separate, disparate identities can coexist without generating immense internal conflict. But you can't fake wholeness. The human psyche simply isn't designed for such sustained dissonance. When you spend 8 to 10 hours a day trying to be somebody you're not, you don't just feel drained, you become diminished. You lose pieces of yourself in the chasm between these two roles. And eventually, the lines blur so completely that you begin to forget who the real you actually is. This isn't just a personal dilemma. It's a profound leadership issue. The moment you internalize and accept the lie of two lives, you unwittingly model that fragmented mindset for everyone who looks to you for guidance. And just like that, you're building a team, a culture, and even an entire company on a shaky foundation of fragmentation. How we got here. A brief history of the divide. To understand this pervasive myth, let's journey back to its origins. The concept of separating work from home wasn't always the norm. It was largely born out of the Industrial Revolution. Prior to this era, work often happened within or immediately adjacent to the home. Think artisans crafting goods in their workshops attached to their houses, farmers tending fields just outside their doors, or shopkeepers living above their storefronts. Work and life were interwoven, a single tapestry of existence. But with the advent of factories and burgeoning office spaces in the 18th and 19th centuries, work physically moved out of the home. Men predominantly went to work in these new workplaces, leaving the domestic sphere behind. Women, by societal design, often remained at home, managing the household and caregiving responsibilities. This physical separation rapidly gave birth to a profound mental divide. Work was over there, and life was over here. The introduction of punch clocks, the rigid structure of commutes that physically separated spheres, and the increasing formality of suits and ties solidified this boundary, making it seem almost sacred. As a 2019 Harvard Business Review article, The History of Work-Life Balance points out, this era cemented the idea that work was a distinct, often demanding realm separate from personal life. This divide was systematically reinforced and deepened over time. The 1950s saw the emergence of the ideal worker model, typically a man who worked tirelessly full-time with minimal interruptions, supported by a full-time homemaker who handled all domestic and caregiving responsibilities. The very structure of the corporate ladder was built for individuals who could dedicate themselves solely to their careers, seemingly unburdened by external obligations. This model, while perhaps providing a sense of stability for some, further entrenched the idea that professional success required a complete separation from, or even sacrifice of, personal life. Even as more women entered the workforce in subsequent decades and technology irrevocably transformed our communication patterns, the deeply ingrained cultural assumption persisted. Work and life should remain separate. Employers expected it, often implicitly, through long hours and demanding schedules. Families internalized it, believing that a clear division was necessary for harmony. And we as a society bought into the deceptive promise that harmony could only be achieved by keeping these two worlds at arm's length. Fast forward to today. While we've traded the loud, gritty factories for the quiet glow of Zoom calls and stiff suits for comfortable hoodies, we are still stubbornly clinging to the same outdated belief that we inhabit two distinct worlds and must constantly strive to balance them. The fundamental flaw in this continued attempt? The walls are gone. Your Slack pings relentlessly during your kid's soccer game. Your boss casually schedules a quick chat at 7:30 p.m. on a Tuesday, blurring the lines of the workday. Your spouse texts you about a family emergency in the middle of a critical strategy sessions. The clean, impermeable divide simply no longer exists. The digital tether has made the separation a fiction. So why are we still desperately trying to live as it does? The costs of this profound misalignment are not theoretical. They are backed by significant research. A 2023 Gallup State of the Global Workplace report revealed a stark reality. Only 20% of employees worldwide are engaged at work. A major contributing factor cited is the deep emotional dissonance experienced by individuals trying to inhabit different personas in different environments. This constant code switching, this feeling of inauthenticity, drains vitality. Similarly, Deloitte's 2024 Human Capital Trends report highlighted that the integration of personal and professional lives has become one of the top drivers of employee well-being and retention in modern workplaces. The data clearly indicates that the split life is not sustainable or productive for individuals or organizations. The emotional cost of the split. Living as if you have two separate lives creates a pervasive form of stress that transcends mere logistical inconvenience. It's profoundly emotional and deeply damaging to your psyche. This isn't about managing your calendar, it's about managing your soul. Here's a breakdown of what this constant internal struggle costs you. Guilt. You are perpetually haunted by the feeling of falling short, of neglecting one side of your life in favor of the other. You're always failing someone or something, be it your family, your team, or yourself. This guilt is a relentless internal critic, whispering that you're never quite enough, no matter how hard you try. It creates a constant state of low-grade anxiety, a feeling of inadequacy that saps your joy. Disconnection. You begin to feel like an alien in your own story, observing your life from a distance rather than fully inhabiting it. You might struggle to connect deeply with others because you're constantly guarding aspects of yourself, afraid that revealing the other persona will lead to judgment or misunderstanding. This can lead to a profound sense of loneliness, even when surrounded by people. You become a stranger to your own authentic desires and needs. Fatigue. The sheer mental and emotional energy required to constantly pretend to code switch between different personas is exhausting. You spend more energy on maintaining the act than on genuine productivity or presence. This isn't just about physical tiredness. It's a deep, soul-level weariness that sleep often can't fully alleviate. Your brain is constantly working overtime, managing the performance, leading to cognitive overload and decision fatigue. Most dangerously, you begin to normalize this internal tension, convincing yourself that it's simply an unavoidable part of being a responsible adult or a successful professional. You might hear yourself or others say, "That's just how it is," or "Everyone feels this way." But it's not normal. It's merely common. And common, in this context, is certainly not synonymous with healthy. The renowned psychologist Carl Jung famously stated, "The most terrifying thing is to accept oneself completely." The split life, in a subtle yet powerful way, allows us to avoid this profound self-acceptance. It creates a psychological buffer where we never have to be fully seen, fully vulnerable, or fully authentic anywhere. We can hide behind the professional mask or the perfect parent facade, but the tragic consequence is that when we live split, we also never truly feel known. Even by ourselves, we exist as partial, fragmented versions of who we are truly. Over time, this relentless dissonance corrodes our confidence, dulls our sense of purpose, and ultimately leaves us feeling profoundly empty. It's like trying to fill a bucket with a hole in the bottom. No matter how much you pour in, you never feel full. Real life isn't a balancing act. Imagine attempting to navigate your entire life on a precarious tightrope. Every single day becomes a delicate, agonizing act of constantly shifting your weight, desperately trying to ensure that one side doesn't pull too hard, threatening to send you plummeting. This image alone evokes exhaustion, because that's precisely what this approach entails. Your muscles are always tense, your focus always on avoiding disaster, never truly enjoying the view or the journey. Now instead, imagine designing and building a sturdy, enduring bridge. It begins with one strong, unified foundation, consistent and reliable across its entire span. This bridge is integrated. It's inherently stable. It's purpose-built for connection, allowing for seamless movement and flow between different points. That's precisely what your life should be. Not a precarious balancing act, but a robust bridge between your deeply held values and your everyday behavior. A structure that powerfully supports everything you do, no matter the context. It allows you to move freely, confidently, and authentically. And here's the crucial distinction. That bridge doesn't collapse when work becomes demanding or when family life gets messy, because its very architecture is built on the bedrock of integrity, not the flimsy scaffolding of compartmentalization. It bends, but it does not break. Case study: Erica, the project manager. Erica was renowned within her company for her impeccable professionalism. She ran an exceptionally tight meeting, consistently hit every deadline, and never overlooked even the smallest detail. Her presentations were flawless, her reports meticulous. Colleagues admired her efficiency, but few felt truly connected to her. She cultivated an aura of being unapproachable, always in control, never revealing a crack in her professional armor. As a result, despite her technical prowess, she also had a pervasive reputation for being cold, emotionally disconnected, and almost robotic. Her team, while productive, rarely offered unsolicited ideas or engaged in truly candid discussions, fearing her cool, analytical gaze. At home, however, Erica was a completely different person. She was warm, genuinely funny, quick to laugh, and deeply emotionally available to her partner and friends. She was the one who organized game nights, listened for hours to a friend's struggles, and offered heartfelt advice. Her partner once playfully remarked, "You should really bring home Erica to the office sometime. She's a lot more fun." That casual observation struck a profound chord with Erica. The joke, though lighthearted, revealed an uncomfortable truth about her divided self. It wasn't just about fun, it was about authenticity. She felt a pang of shame, realizing how much energy she expended maintaining two separate personas. The thought of bringing home Erica to work felt terrifying, exposing. But the idea of continuing to live split felt even more exhausting. so she decided to embark on a brave experiment. She began subtly integrating Homerica into her professional persona. Her first step was small. At the start of her next team meeting, instead of diving straight into the agenda, she shared a brief personal anecdote about a recent weekend hike with her family and how it had given her a fresh perspective on complex project challenge. It was a tiny crack in the armor, but it felt monumental to her. She felt her heart race, anticipating judgment. Instead, she saw a few smiles, a nod or two. Over the next few weeks, she continued these small acts of openness. She began to explicitly share her core values with her team, explaining why certain decisions mattered to her beyond the bottom line. For instance, when discussing a challenging client, she might say, "My value of integrity means we need to be transparent here, even if it's uncomfortable." Crucially, she stopped pretending to be bulletproof, allowing herself to admit when she didn't have all the answers, or when she felt a project was particularly challenging. "This is a tough one," she'd say, "and I'm feeling the pressure, just like you are. Let's tackle it together." The results were nothing short of transformative. Her team, sensing her authenticity and newfound vulnerability, began to open up themselves. Candid feedback started to flow more freely. Collaboration improved dramatically as team members felt safer sharing ideas and admitting their own struggles. And for the first time in her career, Erica felt a profound sense of relief and wholeness. She no longer had to choose between being respected as a professional and being true to herself as a human being. She found that her influence grew, not despite, but because of her authenticity. This act of integration didn't diminish her effectiveness. It made her a demonstrably better leader and a more fully realized human being. The story of the leader who snapped. I once had the opportunity to work with a CEO who, from the outside, was universally admired. He was sharp, charismatic, and always seemed to be on, effortlessly navigating high-stakes meetings, captivating audiences with his vision, and exuding an aura of unwavering confidence. He was the epitome of corporate success. But beneath that impeccably polished exterior, he was living a profoundly divided existence. The brilliant strategist who constantly crushed quarterly earnings reports was simultaneously missing his children's birthdays, emotionally absent from his marriage, and prone to short-tempered, often cutting outbursts with his team members behind closed doors. He rarely slept more than 4 hours a night, fueled by caffeine and an insatiable drive for external validation. His colleagues saw the results. His family saw the wreckage. He didn't ultimately break down because he was weak. He broke down because he was divided. The unsustainable stress of perpetually living two incongruous lives finally caught up with him. It always does. The snap came during a seemingly routine board meeting. Mid-sentence, discussing a new marketing strategy, he suddenly froze. His mind went blank. He felt a wave of nausea, followed by an overwhelming sense of panic. He couldn't breathe. He excused himself, barely making it out of the room before collapsing in a stairwell, overwhelmed by a full-blown panic attack. It was a physical manifestation of years of internal dissonance. His path to recovery didn't begin with therapy or much-needed sabbatical, though those would come later. It started with a raw, honest admission, a confession he made to himself in that stairwell, and later to his wife and trusted mentor. "I don't want to live like this anymore. I can't." It was the first time he had truly acknowledged the depth of his internal suffering. That moment of unvarnished truth was a precise turning point. Everything began to change from there. His first act of wholeness was small but significant. He called his children to school and arranged to pick them up early, just to spend an unplanned afternoon with them. He turned off his phone. He was terrified of the work piling up, but the relief of being truly present, even for a few hours, was immense. This small act of integration, prioritizing his family over his work persona, was the first stitch in repairing his fractured identity. Integration over balance. The truly better path isn't the elusive pursuit of balance. It's a profound practice of integration. Integration doesn't mean you must respond to emails during a family dinner, blurring all boundaries into an unhealthy mess. What it does mean is that you don't have to pretend to be a different person in the meeting that precedes dinner. You are fundamentally the same person in both places. Your core values, your authentic voice, your true intentions, they travel with you. It means that your values travel with you. Your energy aligns seamlessly across different contexts. Your decisions, whether personal or professional, make intrinsic sense across all areas of your life because they stem from a singular, coherent identity. You are not constantly shifting gears, but operating from a consistent internal engine. When your identity is fully integrated, your precious energy isn't constantly leaking, wasted on exhausting act of maintaining separate personas. Instead, that energy is powerfully redirected into deeper presence, stronger performance, and healthier, more authentic relationships. You're not distracted by the performance, you're focused on the impact. This is far more than mere semantics. It represents a fundamental lifestyle shift. A compelling study published by the Journal of Vocational Behavior underscored this reality, finding that individuals who reported feeling aligned in both their personal and professional roles experienced significantly higher levels of job satisfaction, life satisfaction, and overall well-being. This concept of role integration is not a luxury or soft skill. It is a fundamental foundation for long-term health, effectiveness, and sustained impact. When your inner world matches your outer world, you experience a profound sense of peace and coherence. Integration at scale. What organizations are learning? It's not solely individuals who bear the brunt of split life problem. Organizations suffer it too. When companies implicitly or explicitly encourage employees to leave it at the door, meaning to suppress their personal lives, emotions, and struggles, they aren't fostering professionalism. They're inadvertently building impenetrable walls, hiding genuine human connection and true collaboration. This creates a culture of guardedness, where employees bring only a fraction of their potential to the table. Google's renowned Project Aristotle, a multi-year research initiative aimed at identifying the characteristics of high-performing teams, made a groundbreaking discovery: psychological safety. Defined as the ability to be oneself without fear of negative consequences or punishment, emerged as the number one predictor of team effectiveness. In simpler terms, the more people felt genuinely free to bring their whole selves, their authentic selves, to work, the more they innovated, collaborated, and contributed meaningfully. When team members felt safe to admit mistakes, ask questions, or share personal insights when appropriate, innovation flourishes. Problem-solving becomes more robust, and collective intelligence is maximized. When leaders actively model this kind of integration, they intentionally create a safe, permission-giving space for others to embrace their full humanity. This, in turn, cultivates a stronger, more resilient organizational culture, leads to superior decision-making, and significantly enhances a team's ability to navigate and thrive under pressure. Integration is not just about personal development pursuit. It is a profound strategic advantage. It fosters a culture where trust is high, communication is open, and people feel truly valued for who they are, not just what they produce. The neuroscience of wholeness. Beyond the psychological and organizational costs, there's also a demonstrable biological cost to living a double life. When we constantly switch roles and suppress integral parts of our identity, our brain activates stress responses remarkably similar to those triggered by outright lying or deception. According to Dr. David Rock, author of Your Brain at Work, experiencing cognitive dissonance, the uncomfortable mental tension that arises from holding conflicting beliefs or engaging in contradictory behaviors, creates significant mental fatigue and demonstrably reduces overall performance. Your brain is essentially trying to reconcile two conflicting realities, and that takes an enormous amount of energy. Attempting to be two distinct people requires constant code switching and continuous, exhausting mental negotiation of what to reveal, what to hide, and how to adapt your persona. This drains your working memory, elevates cortisol levels, the stress hormone, and ultimately leads to severe burnout. The brain is literally working harder to maintain the facade. Integration, conversely, liberates valuable cognitive resources. You are no longer distracted by energy-intensive act of hiding or pretending. Instead, you are free to focus your mental power or authentically showing up and engaging with the task at hand, leading to clearer thinking, better problem-solving, and sustained mental energy. A practical tool, the Integrity Inventory. If you are ready to begin the transformative work of closing the gap between who you truly are and how you consistently show up in the world, start here. This simple yet powerful exercise, the Integrity Inventory, provides a clear pathway. It's a moment of honest self-assessment, a chance to hold up a mirror to your inner and outer worlds. The Integrity Inventory, your first step towards wholeness. 1. Identify your top 5 personal values. Take a quiet moment. What truly matters to you? What principles guide your decisions, even when no one is watching? Think about moments you felt most alive, most proud, or most outraged. These often point to your core values. Examples: authenticity, compassion, growth, courage, connection, honesty, family, excellence, service, creativity. Write them down. Don't overthink it. Trust your gut. 2, reflect on how each value shows up or doesn't in your work life. For each of your 5 values, consider your typical work week. Questions to ask: when did this value clearly show up in my actions, words, or decisions at work? Be specific. When did I feel this value was compromised or absent in my work life? Be honest, without judgment. What specific situations or interactions at work make it difficult to live this value fully? Example: if honesty is a value, it showed up when I gave candid feedback to a colleague. It was absent when I didn't speak up at a meeting about a misleading sales projection. 3, identify the area where you feel most divided. Review your reflections from step 2. Where is the biggest discrepancy between your values and your behavior? Where do you feel the most internal tension or inauthenticity? Is it a specific project, a relationship with a colleague, a particular type of meeting, or a general feeling about your role? Circle or highlight the value and the work context where the gap feels widest. 4, choose one action this week to close the gap. This doesn't need to be a dramatic, life-altering overhaul. Small, consistent acts are the most powerful. Brainstorm a specific, measurable action. If courage is valued and you identified not speaking up, this week, I will voice my opinion respectfully in one team meeting, even if it feels uncomfortable. If connection is a value you feel distant from your team, this week, I will have genuine, non-work-related 5-minute conversation with one team member I usually do not connect with. If integrity is a value identified as a minor ethical compromise, this week, I will correct that small misrepresentation, even if it's awkward. If family is a value and you're always distracted, this week, I will put my phone away for the first hour after I get home and be fully present with my family. Commit. Write down your chosen action and tell one trusted person about it for accountability. Small, consistent acts of integration are like tiny, deliberate stitches that over time build immense trust and cultivate profound courage. They are daily choices that gradually, powerfully realign your inner and outer worlds. The cost of inaction. Let's be blunt and direct. If you refuse to challenge the pervasive myth of balance and continue to cling to the fragmented life, here is what will inevitably happen. You will perpetually exhaust yourself trying to fix your deep-seated fatigue with superficial solutions like better time management or scheduling apps, when the root problem is a profound identity fragmentation. You'll feel like you're constantly bailing water from a leaky boat. You will continue to relentlessly chase promotions and external validation without ever finding inner peace. Caught in an endless cycle of striving, the trophies will accumulate, but the sense of fulfillment will remain elusive. Your team, observing your mask-wearing incongruence, will subtly and overtly mirror your behavior, leading to a pervasive degradation of trust and culture. Innovation will stifle, and general collaboration will become rare. Your family, the people who should receive the best of you, will consistently get only what's left over, the tired, distracted, and inauthentic remnants of your divided self. They will sense the distance, even if they can't articulate it. This isn't just a philosophical debate about lifestyle choices. This is a critical life trajectory issue, impacting your well-being, your relationships, and your legacy. It's about the kind of life you're building, day by day. What integration looks like in practice. Integrated leaders don't just talk about values, they embody them. They are individuals who have the genuine humility to say, "I don't know," and courageously invite collaboration rather than feigning expertise. They trust their team, are willing to openly talk about failure and growth, framing setbacks as learning opportunities, not just celebrating key performance indicators. They model resilience, set healthy boundaries, and communicate them with clarity and conviction rather than sheepishly apologizing or guilt. They protect their energy and their values. Live the same story at home and at work, ensuring their actions, beliefs, and persona are consistent across all domains. They are coherent. Imagine a life where Monday morning doesn't necessitate donning a metaphorical suit of armor to face the week, where Friday evening doesn't require an exhaustive detox from the professional facade you maintained, where every room you step into, whether a boardroom or your living room, welcomes the very same authentic version of you. That life is not merely a utopian dream. That life is profoundly possible. But it absolutely starts with a courageous rejection of the false premise of balance and a deliberate, unwavering commitment to the challenging yet immensely worthwhile work of integration. Let's do that work together. Because the truth is, you never had two lives to begin with. You only ever had one. And it is profoundly time to start living it on purpose, with integrity and wholeness.